you and change you and try to get you out of place. But you're going to have to stand in the face of it and keep talking about your God. You need to talk. Don't keep coming talking about the bigness of your problem. Turn around and look at your problem and tell him the bigness of your God. I serve a God that's bigger than that. I serve a God that can do more than that. I serve a God that his records show he done that plus more. Is that anybody God up in here? Do anybody know a God like that? Is anybody looking for a God to do like that? Oh, help me right here. Help me right here. Now watch this. I'm going there. Stay on your feet. Stay on your feet. I want you to read. Listen, I'll read it for you. I like the anointing. Don't you think I ain't got no Bible now? I got Bible for you this morning. But I like the anointing because it's a work being done. You know, we quote Psalm 91 every service. But you got to know the stanzas of the song. Because some part is what he said, some part is what you say. Verse 14 says, now this is God saying to you. See, all the other stuff is what you said to him. Come on, you better get with me right here. Listen what he said to you. Verse 14 says, and because he has set his love upon me, this is what God's saying you've done. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he have known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. And with long life will I and show him my salvation. See, this is what God made a covenant to you because you believed in him. He said, now I got you. Oh, you better hear that this morning. You better receive that in the Holy Ghost. You better receive it in the Holy Ghost. Listen, listen. I don't need to see it. I just need a word that he got me until my change come. I don't care how many times. I don't care what you got to go through. You got a yes from God. You got an amen from God. Now, I never said it's going to be easy. I never said it's going to be quick. But he did say, I gave you my word. Not just my Bible, but my integrity of my commitment that I'll do what I said I'm going to do. Oh, do you love him like that? Do you love him like that? Do you love him like that? You got a God that'll keep his word. So now you can say, nevertheless, because I got a word from God. That should help somebody up in here. That should help somebody up in here. Hallelujah. 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 Listen, I want to say I want to welcome all those that's back from Afghanistan and those that are out from Iraq. If you're here this morning, you black, just lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. Come on, somebody. Let's give our brother Jerry a hand of praise. Glory be to God. Aaron, my love, my brother in the back, God bless you, Father. We thank you for the Psalm 91 of your protection, which is the evidence of the fruit that they're here because you brought them back unscathed and unharmed. And we won't be, Father, ignorant to not say thank you because of your grace that we confess weekly in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Also, I want to thank God for Brother Roberts, Brother Wilson. We went to celebrate his promotion, amen, to Warrant Chief Officer 3, amen. Also, it's on tape, so let's give his wife the same kudo being promoted, amen, in regards to, Major, right? Right, she got promoted. So God is just, and then now, Brother Wilson, this is your last service, right? This is your last service. We're going to definitely anoint you in the same covenant that we just spoke, but we're going to lay our hands on you at the end of the service. Make sure you come up so we can release that oil to go with you. Don't you leave without the grace of God, amen? I don't care where you're going. Ask the preacher to bless me, amen? Because that's the covenant of God to go with you, to keep you and to protect you, to bring you back in the name of Jesus. You got to believe what you're preaching. You got to believe what you're confessing. You got to believe what you're walking in to the point that you activate it, amen? And that it becomes a covering in your life. Yeah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. We already all the way out there. So since you're on your feet, let me go ahead and get you started. Are y'all ready for the word? Yeah. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Y'all got to remind me at the end of the service to do communion. We're going to do Holy Communion. But I'm going to shake the devil's territory this morning. I'm going to shake the devil's territory this morning. Because listen, we are blessed men and women of God. And I don't care what you got to go through. I don't care what's going on. Those songs was appropriate. The title of our message today is The Lord's Harvest. See, you're the Lord's harvest. Your life ain't even your own. You're a part of the will of God. And no devil or demon can come and attack you and take from you and try to, even if it come, no weapon formed against you would prosper. He didn't say it wouldn't come, but I'm telling you, it won't prosper. That's a warranty from God. Amen. If you act right, live right, and do right, the warranty of God will be instated on your life. And then if you happen to act a fool, grace covers you. Boy, you should get happy right there. Open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. Hallelujah. Yeah, a whole lot of us living on grace. All of us on grace. Because you ain't all that. I don't know if you notice it. But you ain't got it like that. You ain't all that. Because the moment you think you're doing something good, you fall. And you got to holler, help, Lord. Is this all right with you? Are you in 2 Corinthians chapter 13? I said first, what did the Lord tell you? 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I apologize. That was me. All right, are you ready? Look at my woman of God. Bless you, woman of God. Are you ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. And let's read in unison. And let's begin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Father, we ask you to bless every hearer, but most of all, bless the doer. Thank you, God, that my mouth would be a tool for you to use to advance and elevate and exalt your people to have a faith in the very communion of the Holy Spirit and the power of God that worketh in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure in Jesus' wonderful name. And we all said amen. Amen. And amen. You may have your seats in the presence of the Lord. Give somebody a high five. Tell them I'm ready. I'm ready. You know, since we're going to do communion, I think I'm going to walk around a little bit. Y'all might as well get ready with the camera. And can you? Yes, I think I feel like this here. I need to walk up on some folk. You know, back in the day when we was on the block. Yeah, come on, somebody. You couldn't say something from afar. You had to walk up on some folk. Just walk up on them. And just let them know. You know what I'm saying? We've been to do this. Thank you, sir. We've been to do this. Amen. I want to walk up on some folk tonight. This morning. Because listen. My healing, my deliverance, my victory is right in this message. Glory to God. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad to be here. But I'm more glad you're here. Yeah. Because you know how we always think somebody else need it. Yeah, we don't never think we need it. We always think, that's why we come, because I brought him. But you don't know, you came also. Who asked this? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. You're going to be a preacher one day. I hear you. It says, and Paul says, for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Now listen. I want to approach this communion from another angle because communion has so many facets to it and you can never exhaust the revelation of God. Amen. But you have to do your study so that you can understand. You know, sometimes I, as a pastor, I got so much going on in my mind. So y'all pray for me. Amen. Because I be rolling and stuff jumping and I'm trying to get it off. Plus, I want to get it right. Plus, I want to scare the heck out the devil. So I got all that happening inside me at one time. Amen. So if you hear me go wrong or sideways, don't get up on me. How they told me, they said, you can strike the mark, but you missed the point.
All right.
See, I may not have it right, but I got the story. I know who I'm chasing, and I got my weapon. Come on, somebody. So I'm on you now. I want the devil to know I'm on you this morning. I said the devil. Now, don't be looking at me. Watch this. He said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, watch this. That's one aspect of your favor. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know you're operating out of the grace of God? This is why you cannot get caught up in your own self. My wins, my victories, my losses, because it's the grace. But if I don't understand what grace is, I'm trying to prove something, achieve something, or accomplish something, or validate. See, the reason why we quit on God, we stop doing what we're doing, because we don't understand what grace does. See, grace affords you the liberty to walk in the power and the ability of God, independent of your actions. For by grace were you. Because now if it was based on merit, points for point, how many of us would be out? All of us. Yeah. Don't raise your hand. I'm going to help some of y'all so you can get right with God. All of us would be missed, because we all miss it, for we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So ain't no sense in you looking at my sin when I can look at. But we both going to stand in the grace this morning. Because Paul said, for by the grace of God, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. So grace was given because of what? The love of God. This Bible, ain't it? For God so loved the world that he gave. So he gave the world grace.
All right.
Oh, if you get established in this, you can walk with your head up independent of your situations, your circumstances, your failures, and your trials. Because I'm not meriting my joy on my own efforts. I'm staying in the grace. I'm walking in the grace. I'm preaching by the grace of God. I'm healed by the grace. I'm delivered by. I'm forgiven by. Oh, y'all better come on. See, we got each other pinned up on the wall on our own merits. My question, where is the? Because see, if you don't learn how to walk in grace, you really can't judge me. You can't start with my crime. You got to start with grace. Now watch this. There's a difference between a sin and a crime, and I told you. See, the church is in the sin business. I'm not in the crime business. So if you did a crime, we need to go to the court. Ain't, don't talk about grace now. Because that's another jurisdiction. They up under another whole law. I'm in the sin business. Now I can work with you with sin. And there's some grace I will extend. If you do a crime, you got to talk to the judge. Now we start talking about mercy, Lord. Yeah, you got to appropriate your words. Yeah, we don't talk about no, come on, grace now. Because you ain't in my house. You in the courthouse. So now we need to ask for mercy. Mercy is independent of what I've done. I'm still asking for grace, but I'm asking it from another disposition. Amen? Because when you're in the court, they don't talk about grace and God. They don't do that up in there. They talk about persecution, prosecution. They talk about 15, 25. So you need to ask for mercy. Yeah, don't go up in there talking about justice. No, because that's what we hit, but you're going to get just what you got coming. So if you want to approach us like you in church, say mercy. Judge, I want to know, can I get some mercy? We're not even going to argue about what you're talking about because you know you're right. Yeah. Just like God, we ain't going to argue about what you're talking about because you know you're right. I want some mercy. I know I sinned. I know I'm still doing it. I know I did that. But is it any mercy? Is this all right? So he said, watch this. He says right here, according to your scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and this is where we want to pick up on, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. Now that word communion is the word we know as koinonia. That means fellowship, a sharing in common. That's a distribution of what we have as one. So now watch this. Communion, koinonia, fellowship is what God gave. What God instituted and what God allowed when he said grace. Because God says, I'm a God, y'all a man, and in order for us to fellowship, have koinonia, have something in common, I got to extend you some grace because you ain't on my level. Now I know you're intelligent and I know you got degrees and I know you did this and know you did that, but I'm God. I'm on a level that your degree can't get to. You can't buy this. You can't pay your way up here. I'm in a God zone. So in order for me and you to have fellowship, common ground, I'm going to have to extend some grace, which is a doorway or avenue for us to come together and koinonia. But you got to do this by the Holy Ghost. Because you don't have the power to do this independent of my spirit. Oh, come on. I'm going to teach you something this morning if you stay with me. See, it's my spirit that enables you to do anything that pertains to me. You can't even be born without the spirit. You need the Holy Ghost help. Am I helping anybody? Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures so you can get to, but I'm going to get down to where I'm going. Go to Luke chapter 5. See, this is a good example where we start talking about the koinonia. And in Luke chapter 5, you know the story about Peter, and he's down there and he's going to do the fishing. And Peter gets ready to go and do fishing. And he go and now he cannot catch anything, so he needs the Holy Ghost help. So because of the Spirit of God aiding him, he gives him the instructions on how to catch something. But watch this. When the Holy Ghost come to help you, you get more than what you was looking for. Because see, when Peter was fishing, now you got to understand that Peter was just not a fisherman. He had a fishing business. Because watch the text. The text said when he went and got them other boys to help him because he had too much, he told them to come. Peter was not just down there fishing. Peter had a fishing business. So now as a partner, I'm going to get into this other part of koinonia. See, a koinonia is not only common fellowship, it's not communion, it's not just, but it's also partnership. See, when you came into the kingdom, you became a partner to the king. And now you become an agent by the Holy Spirit, help to work together with me against those things that come opposite to and from me. So my knowledge, my ability is limited, but the Holy Spirit's ability is vast. So now my help come. See, when I'm in a situation and you don't know, you know how you Google? And Google help you? Well, the same thing if you korekebosika, rambabosatanderebosita, rambabobokos. Now the Holy Ghost knowledge bank is bigger than the Google bank. Because he's got all knowledge. Google got limited knowledge. Now, Google can go a little deep on us, but God can go the deep, call upon the deep. I can go centuries, aeon. I can talk about all things. So when you go in the Holy Ghost, now the Spirit's help. Is this good to y'all? Now the Spirit comes and partner together with me against those things that's opposite to and from me. So now I get the Holy Ghost help to deal with what I could not deal with. And really, I just got the power of God. Because the Holy Ghost help comes through the grace of God. So now, no sickness, no disease, no famine, no circumstance, no marital problem, no kid problem, no money problem will supersede the anointing's help, the anointing's ability. But you got to call on it. See, the greatest neglect is the neglect to call, not the neglect to do. See, if you don't call on the Holy Ghost, he can't help. So now you blaming God for not helping, but you never asked for it, and you never inquired according to the order of God. That's why I gave you the Holy Spirit, to be a comforter, to be with you while I'm gone. But if you don't use him, then you... So it was not he could not help. You didn't call him to help. Are you with me? Now go to Luke chapter 1. I'm giving you these before I go to where we're going. In Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And we know the story how Jesus was conceived, amen. It's in your Bible. It's in your Bible, Luke chapter 1, amen. But what came upon Mary? Come on, all you Bible scholars. It was the Holy Ghost. It wasn't little Luther. It wasn't Billy. Come on, somebody. Nah, it was the Holy Ghost. See, and when the Holy Ghost came up on Mary, it potentially gave her the ability to have a miracle. Do something that it wasn't even named to be done. How many of us believe in God for something right now? But see, you need the Holy Ghost help. You can't come to church and think it's just going to work. You got to go a little further to go forward. Yeah, we want to go forward, but you don't want to go further. I don't want to do no more. I just want to get more. So in order for us to get more, I got to do more. I got to go a little further. So not only do I got to go to church, I got to get the Holy Ghost help. Everybody say help.
Help.
See, I need the Holy Ghost help. See, this is how we're going to overcome the sickness, diseases, because grace was already given, but I got to cooperate with grace through the Holy Spirit. My healing is grace. My deliverance is grace. My overcoming is grace. My whatever I need is grace, but I got to get it through the Holy Spirit's power. I'm just sitting there waiting on it. He said it, I'm waiting right here. I'm not moving. Y'all go ahead. I'm going to wait right here because he said he's coming. Matter of fact, I'm going to start going towards him because he said he's going to give it to me. But I don't have the Holy Ghost help, so I don't have the power to get what grace has provided. That's why the Bible says, for by grace you are through. How many of us been trying to live off your faith? Oh, you better preach this right now. We got too many people trying to live off their faith, and they get shipwrecked, they get defeated and depleted because I don't have enough faith to deal with that problem. Well, why don't you just call on grace? You got a whole lot of grace. Your faith is used to get what grace has provided. The faith is the currency in the kingdom. Grace is the possessions. If you go ahead and receive what grace has provided by faith, I only need one dose. That's why he said a mustard seed. I just believe. No, I got to believe, and I got to. I believe like this. I'm believing over here, putting this oil. Pour some more on me, because I believe. You don't have to do all that. Believing is believing if you believe. Well, it ain't by how much you believe, it's what you believing in. Faith is not something, it's someone. See, my faith is in him, not in the objective, not in my ability, not in my believing. Once I receive what grace gave, I'm in full 100% faith. Ain't no more faith involved. I receive what grace said. Yes, Lord, it's mine. That's 100% faith. Didn't cost you no extra gymnastics or nothing. You just got to stay focused now on what you believe and don't move until your change comes. You got a nevertheless anointing. Because I believe. I know I done it. I remember one time I worked for the city. I had to take a test all 4 times to get it. But I got it. Now, you must not have been in faith the first or two. I was in faith all four of them. But it took the fourth one to get it. Come on. That doesn't mean I wasn't in faith because I didn't get it. No, I got to stay in faith till it comes because he said it's coming. What if it had took 9 times? I'd have been a 9-time running joker. But I was still in faith. Come on, somebody. It ain't magic. I did it once and it should have been here. No, that's foolishness. That's not faith. Because you don't know what got to be done to get it to you. Who got to be rearranged? What got to be moved? What got to... So, no, you can't put that limitation on faith. You just believe. Well, how long? Until he comes. But it's six times. Well, he ain't came there. I went there and they tried that. That was four applications. They not the one. I got a promise. It's one of them. And when I walk up on it, I ain't going to say, here it is. I'm going to say, this is. You better hear me. I've been waiting on you. You the anointed chance. Look at all them. Oh, my, help me here. Look at all them sperms that run around. Out of all them sperms, you was the anointed one. Boy, you better come on with me. You was the one. Out of all the million that could have came out, you was the one. Don't tell me you no accident. Are you there? Watch this. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 35. The Holy Spirit was the generator of the birth. Is that right? That's in your Bible. Go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. We all know it. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. See, God is trying to teach us by the Holy Spirit that he want to do a work in you, but you're going to have to believe in the work. See, we're trying to get to the promise and not understand the work. See, it's the Holy Spirit that got to go to work. You just want the end. Have you paid attention to the process? Have you ever seen the Spirit move? Stand still. Step back. We just all the way at the front. We done left here and went to the Jordan. I'm at the door of the promise waiting. Why did they come? Why is it taking so long? Why is it? Man, you done went ahead of God. Because the Holy Spirit back there working to get you your promise. All the thing you got is a receipt that is paid for. Oh, you better hear me. Even if you don't have, you got a receipt that is paid in full. That's the sufficiency of your faith. All right. You got a word from God. Now you got to go and wait till he bring it to you. Are you with me? Matthew chapter 3. I'm trying to get somewhere. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. He says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens is open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And he was led by what? The Spirit. See, you got to be led by the Spirit. See, too many of us get an ideal and we gone. And you won't let the Spirit lead you. You won't let the Spirit instruct you. You won't let the Spirit direct you. You just gone. Now the Spirit got to come and get you. Because we done went ahead. God gave you a promise. He working some stuff out on your behalf. You just got to wait on the Lord. What do all that mean? Y'all sound spirit, just wait on the Lord. That's saying something. What it's saying is my dependency is upon him to do it, not me. I got a promise, it's done. I got a receipt, it's paid for. I just can't go down there and get it. It's mine. I got the room set up. I got made room in the driveway. It's mine. I just got to wait on my delivery by the Holy Ghost. You better hear me up in here. Yeah, if you really believe it, go prepare for it. Have you fixed up your room for the baby? Come on, somebody. Have you set aside the money for the car? Have you? Oh, you're going to get ready when it get here. You said you was in faith. You believed that you received. Have you went and done anything in preparation for what you already received? Where is your faith? You said you believe. You should have something prepared based on what you. If you expecting as great as you believe, you should have something prepared. Because if you believe in that strong, then your expectation should be that strong. Then that means I should be already prepared for what I'm saying he going to do. I'm not going to wait. Well, if he do it, I get ready. You ain't prepared. You don't believe he going to do it. Matter of fact, I can talk you out of it by not giving it to you when you really want it. If I don't show up when you really thought it was going to happen, now you think it ain't going to happen. Now you said he can't do it. Now you're saying God lied. Right here, right here. He said he was led by the Spirit. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, right next door. Look at verse 1. Are you there? Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Now, we all know this, but this just sounds so redundant to say it. You know, when Jesus was tempted of the devil, we all know that, right? But he was led up by the Spirit. To be. He was led by the
Spirit.
To be.
All right.
He was led by his Spirit, by the answer to be tempted by the problem. Because I want to know if you believe.
All right.
So I'm going to let your problem talk to you to help develop your belief. Have anybody said yes to their problem? What do you mean, Pastor? Have you told your problem you right and God wrong? You win and God lose? You can do and God can't do? Because he was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the problem. Oh, you better hear me. So when the problem get ready to tempt you to tell you you can't do what you already doing, you can't have what you already got, you can't go where you already, you got to tell your problem about the bigness of your God. My God is able. My God is the same God that, my God is the one that delivered me, saved me. My God is the one that healed me. How are you going to tell me he can't do that? If he couldn't do anything, then he couldn't do nothing. But if he can do one thing, he can do everything. Oh, you better help me up in here. See, you better get your deliverance this morning by getting your faith and your belief centered. I ain't talking about your problem. Nick's the problem. My question is, where's your faith? You always talking about the problem. What do you believe? Who's on the Lord's side? You on the devil's side, because every time you talk, you talking about what the devil talking about. When you going to tell me what God said? When are you going to speak what thus said the Lord? In spite of no money, in spite of she left, he left, in spite of the sickness, in spite of the devil's report, in spite of the job gone, in spite of, when you going to tell me what God said? Am I doing any good, Lord? When you going to tell me what God said? Well, I'm in faith. I'm spiritual. You ain't in faith because faith speaks. You're in doubt and unbelief. What thus saith the Lord? Who's on the Lord's side? Who believed the Lord report of the Lord? Tell me what the Lord report is. Tell me what the Lord promised. You're telling me everything that the devil done. Are you with me? Go to Acts chapter 10. I got to give you some scriptures. Because see, you can't walk out of here talking about you're going to deal with the devil and you don't got the Holy Ghost. You don't have no anointing. The anointing is in the power of the word. If you ain't got no word, you ain't got no anointing. If you ain't complying with the word, ain't no anointing on your life. That's how you can do everything you're doing. Come on. It ain't no great mystery. We can go to school and get 6 degrees and then can't figure out how to get right with God. We got masters and all these, but yet I still can't figure out how to get right with God. But the scripture says these mysteries was revealed unto them. So he made the mystery plain. Are you in Acts chapter 10? I'm getting ready. My plane is trying to get in the air. Yeah, it ain't in the air yet. It's going to get in the air in a minute. I can feel it climbing. It's the altitude. We going into a no man's zone. We going to where no man can work up here. No man can work up here. It's the spirit that works up in here. We going to another. Come on, somebody. We're in a dimension. We're not going in a direction. We're going in a dimension in the Spirit of God, where the Spirit of God is in control now. All hands off the wheels, Dad. Look, Dad, no hands. Holy Ghost got me. I'm on autopilot now. Sit back and drive. The weak can say they strong. The sick can say they heal. Come on. The lame can, oh, you better hear me. The blind can see. Up here. But you got to come up here. See, you can't play church. That's down there. Look at me, how I'm doing. What you think? You don't know. I think I am. But up here, it is. We working with an ears anointing up here. Yeah. Are you in Acts chapter 10? Look at verse 38. Everybody say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Watch this. Verse 38, it says, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? You ain't anointed unless you got the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God got to be operating in you. I don't care how much revelation you know. I don't care how many degrees you got. Except the Spirit of God is amen in what you're talking about, there's no anointing. Because the anointing is in the Spirit. And the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. It cooperates with the Word of God and the will of God. You can't be lying and talking about you in truth. You can't. Come on, somebody. Now, you anointed in something, but there's some things you ain't anointed. Because you ain't in truth, you ain't doing right, you ain't living right. So there's no anointing in that area. I'm not saying you ain't called. I'm not saying you ain't whoever you say you is. But I am saying you ain't anointed. By the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God operates by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth and righteousness. So he got to commune with God. And the Bible says, no flesh with glory in my presence. So you can't be like this and like that. And talking about there's an right here. He says, and God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the what? Holy Ghost and with. When you get the Holy Ghost, you get. When you get the anointing, you get. You get power to heal. You get power to deliver. You come on, somebody. You get power to rearrange and change. See, quit talk. If you get the anointing, you can change your situation. You ain't got no anointing. That's why you're troubled and disobogulated, frustrated, disillusioned, and hard to get along with. Because ain't no anointing. I ain't talking about no problem. I ain't talking about no promise. I ain't got no anointing. Because the Bible says the anointing break the yoke. How's that thing still living? Because I ain't no. All right. Say, give me the anointing, Lord. Give me the anointing, Lord. Holy Spirit, fellowship with me. Commune with me. Partner with me. Because I want the anointing. Oh, somebody, don't patty cake. Don't patty cake. This is how you're going to change your future. This is how you're going to get your promises. This is how you can tap into stuff that I don't care what they say you can't have. If you got the anointing, all things is possible. Quit trying to get the stuff and get the anointing. Get the grace that gives you the stuff. You can't get it without the anointing. We trying to get it with no anointing. He says now, it says, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about what? I told you we anointed to do good. You got to get anointed to do good. You just don't do good. You got to get anointed. Right here. He said, and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, the healing all that was oppressed of the devil. Now, that's not limited to just the physical healing. That's talking about those that got mental issues. Oppression is a mental state. It ain't talking about no kidney, no. That's talking about my mind, my soul, my emotions is flooded and overwhelmed with problems. And I need the anointing to go back in the recesses of my past and rub my issue. Right there. Rub my issue Rub my hurt. Rub that pain, that disorder, that violation, that failure, that defeat. I need the anointing to go back and touch that. I can't touch that. You can't touch that. I won't let you touch that. I need the anointing. I've been hurt. I covered up and got my makeup on, but I've been bruised. I'm inside. Every time I hear about this, somebody mentioned that, it reminds me I'm fighting now out of my hurt from then. You don't know how you hurt me. How did I hurt you? Because you mentioned what hurt me before. I'm only with you because you remind me of what hurt me. And I ain't learned how to break the hurt. So I keep picking up the same. I know you ain't no good. I know you ain't good for me. But that's all I know to get because I'm hurt. And I need the anointing to deal with my hurt. And I've been hurt before. And I'm hurting now. You wonder why I'm still crying, why I'm always quiet, why I don't smile. Because I'm hurt. And there's nobody that's anointed to deal with my hurt. I tried to forgive you. I tried to forget. But you hurt me. Oh, come on. See, you hurt me. And by the anointing, I need the Holy Spirit to come in and go down where I could. See, I didn't get you here, said the Lord, for nobody to deal with you. I brought you here for the Spirit to open you up so I can deal with you. Because you know it hurt that bad. You ain't going to let nobody touch it. You ain't going to let nobody. And this been years. This been years. This been years. This been years you've been locked up. And I brought you to a place where the anointing flows and the anointing is to heal. You keep blaming each other and you're blaming the situation, but it's really the hurt that I don't know how to deal with, and I need the anointing. Kim, am I doing any good? I need the anointing. See, it's the anointing. You can't touch me because you don't even know it's inside me. I can't even forgive myself. That's how bad it hurt. If you know how to pray in the spirit, just pray in the spirit. I ain't talking about looking cute. This warfare. I release my husband. I release my wife for trying to fix my hurt. It's in me. It's in me. Forgive me because I'm hurting. I'm hurting and I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to deal with it. And I keep going off on you. I keep talking to you, but it's really what's hurting in me. I've even hurting because of what I've done to somebody else. And now I'm in my right mind. It hurts me to think about what I've done to them. Let him fix it. Let him fix it. You got to let him touch. I don't care who you're sitting next to. I don't care. You've been waiting a long time to get to this place where the Holy Ghost can deal with what's dealing with me. So not only will I look good on the outside, but I can be healed on the inside. I've been walking around patching this up for years. Somebody messed with me. Somebody done me wrong. And it hurt me. And I need the Holy Ghost now. Don't worry about what somebody else doing. Let them get their healing. 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 Quit being a spectator and cooperate. Just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Say it for the person. Yes, Lord. Because if he can heal them, he'll heal you. But listen. I can go on. But go to Isaiah chapter 53. This is why we're here today. See, it's time for the church to allow the Spirit of God to breathe. See, this is where the Bible says in Genesis that the Spirit of God hovered. See, we need the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God to hover over me. I need the Spirit of God to breathe on me. Breathe back in me the breath of life, because I got hurt. I missed it. I lost it. I was wounded, and I need the life of God put back in me, because that thing took the life of God out of me. I don't care. Just let the Holy Ghost breathe. Let the Holy Ghost breathe. I dare you just to lift your hands up. Let the Holy Ghost breathe. Just let him breathe on you. Let him breathe on you. Let him breathe back in your heart. Let him breathe back in your mind to renew your strength, to renew your mind. We need the Holy Spirit to breathe on me. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Breathe on me a fresh breath, that I can run again, laugh again, live again, love again, work again. I need the breath of God. Isaiah chapter 53. And we're going to get ready. Give me 5 more minutes. 10 more minutes. Isaiah 53. It's all right. Cry out to him. That's what we're here for. Communion is to come and commune, fellowship, get back into the grace that God provided so I can receive everything he gave me. I don't supposed to be sick. I don't supposed to be deranged. I don't supposed to be broke down. I don't supposed to be frustrated. I don't supposed to be emotionally scarred. I got to get back into the grace. I got to have communion with the Holy, by the Holy Spirit, with the grace of God. When we take communion, we identify with everything grace provided. It's healing in here today. When you take this communion, that blood, oh God, abashanda, renberebosita, that blood going to wash you. When you eat them, that cracker, and symbolizes that you're going to identify with the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ain't defeated. You ain't through. You don't have to settle. You just got to get back in communion with the Holy Spirit and the life of God, the grace of God, and the power of God. We only settling, we only quitting because we disconnected. The moment you reconnect, you revitalize, you get restored, you get renewed, you get redeemed, you get reinstated. Come on, somebody. You go, oh, help us up in here. Watch this. Oh, God, help us. He says, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. He says, and who have believed our report? I'm preaching this right, y'all. See, if you believe the report of the Lord, even if you don't got it, you got it. Because it's what he promised you. You don't have to have it to have it. You know you got it by the faith of the word of the living God. You don't have to be a winner to win every fight. You already made victorious. That's how you're still standing. That's how you're still able to go on. That's how you ain't quit. That's how you didn't give up. I ain't winning, but I'm a winner. See, I might have made a mistake, but I'm not a mistake. I may have made one, but I'm not a mistake. The devil trying to tell you a mistake. No, I just made a mistake. The devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. I'm not no mistake. I was made and created by the hand of a living God. Out of all the ones that made, he made me. I can't be no mistake. He says, whoever believed the report of the Lord, and whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And whoever believed our report? Whoever believed our report? How did it become ours? Because I'm in communion and fellowship, in partnership with the Lord. So what he did, I can do. What he got, I got. I'm a joint heir with God through Christ Jesus. Is this good to y'all? This will preach you right out of the hell's hole. I don't care what the devil been threatening you with. What he been telling you you ain't got. You got to stand up in the face of the devil and start talking about what God said. Quit listening to the report of the devil all day. In verse 2, he says, my God. In verse 2. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, man of God. Isaiah 53, verse 2. Listen. Can I? For he shall grow up before them as a tender plant and as a root out of the ground. And he have no form and no comeliness. See, the thing about Jesus, nobody even knew he was who he was. Because everybody that we respect, they have some type of presence or some type of appearance that you can, they got a star, they got a car, they got eight people. So you can, that must be somebody. Now that doctor, he was just walking behind them. But you know, we just so assume that because of the appearance. But he didn't have none of that. He came in lowly and meek. That's why you got to watch who you talk to. You'd be surprised who. Just because they don't put on their Sunday best on Tuesday, that don't mean they ain't who they is. Right here he said, verse 3, he was despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. And he was despised and we esteemed him not. Because see, we rejected him because we thought he sinned. Because we didn't know nothing about him. So when we seen him up on that cross, we called him what they called him. How many of us done reject some folk because they sinned?